disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
A life down before you and cradled in the love of Jesus, I'll find security.
Talking from the book of Ephesians, and we were talking about the sealing of the Holy Spirit, the seal of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'm not going over everything because that is all online. We have our teachings that go online, and so last week's teaching is up online, and I'm sure somebody will give the website for that. But we're going to continue with this teaching, and we're calling this teaching "We Are Sealed with the Holy Spirit," and we're basing this from Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 13. And I'm just going to read this out again, in which it says, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also, having believed, you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." So we saw last time, didn't we, that this sealing, just to recap, this sealing with the Holy Spirit is like this legal document. And we looked in depth to the nature of this legal document. But firstly, just to remind ourselves to come back into this, firstly, it's a drawing up of a document, and it's agreeing with its contents, what is in that document, and there are two signatures that go on this document, which then makes it legal. In other words, this document, this seal that we're talking about, is authenticated. It becomes authentic. And we looked at this term to be authentic, which means it becomes absolute. It's irreversible. Anything that God decrees is irreversible. We know this from Isaiah because he says, "My word shall go forth and not return unto me void." Whatever God decrees, whatever he predestines, it's absolute. It cannot be altered or changed, which is exactly about this seal. And we looked much about this last time. The only way it can alter, that is from your side, whereas you pull out of it. You break the covenant. You break the deed. That's why God hates divorce, because that's what it does. And these people that preach "once saved, always saved" is not quite true. You have a free will. And then these that teach this, they don't really like the doctrine of free will. But you have a free will, and you can decide whether you wish to follow the Lord Jesus Christ or not. You see, salvation is a gift. It is the greatest gift given to mankind that God has given. But like any gift, you can throw it away, or you can give it back. You have a will. On God's side, it never takes him by surprise. But God knows, and he is predestined, he is called from the foundation of the world, those who will make it in to the kingdom of God. And the only security you have as a believer, and I have, is that you stay with it, you endure to the end. And those who endure to the end, that is a clear sign you are the remnant, you are the called, you are the elect, you are the chosen. That is the only way you know it, the church knows it, and the world knows it, by staying with it, enduring to the end. Mm-hmm. And God provides for that endurance. He provides and helps us that we can stay with it, yes, even in our trials and our tests. So that is this sealing. It's authenticated. It becomes absolute as we are baptized, we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. Another aspect of this that we looked at it last time, it's a sign, it's a mark, it's an image. So this signature that is put to it is a sign. The same as you have a signature, mm-hmm. and very often we can identify that person by the signature. You look at it and say, I know that signature, I know that person, I know their signature. So again, that is another sign. That's what we were looking at, weren't we, last time? And thirdly, as to the aspect of this, it's a seal of security. It's kept safe. It cannot be tampered with or changed. And of course, we showed that by the sign of when you send a parcel or whatever it is. You pay for it, it has a seal, a sign, sometimes it's insured so that it will be delivered to the right address, to the right person. And very often they sign for it. This is what we do to get today. So this just gives us an indication of what this sealing is about. In ancient times they used to send letters and they would put their mark on it in wax. And it sealed it. And the only way you knew if that letter had been tampered with, you broke the seal, the wax. You see? And of course, Satan is always trying to tamper with this seal, to try and break it, but it cannot be. For God has decreed over your life and my life. Well, that is all to be found in last week's message. Let's now move on with this. So when we become a Christian, we are in many ways agreeing with his word and the conditions of the discipleship, the baptism in the Holy Spirit, and all of this places this stamp. And we showed last week that the baptism of the Holy Spirit is another experience. It is not, as evangelicals hold, that when you are saved, you're also baptized with the Holy Spirit. That isn't what the Bible reveals. Again, that is in last week's teaching. It is another experience. In actual fact, through the baptism of the Holy Spirit come many experiences. That is the purpose of it. We know in the book of Acts, I believe in Acts 4, they received another infilling later on, didn't they? Another baptismal experience of boldness, where they were proclaiming the gospel in boldness. They needed that because of the conditions, the persecution that they were facing. Now, most of us, we don't face such conditions that our early brothers and sisters were. But maybe one day when it's costing us to preach this gospel, this teaching, God may come again baptizing us more with a boldness to proclaim this message. So we have to see in this sealing that there is further experiences to come. But it is important that we are sealed with the Holy Spirit. It is this stamp. This stamp is a sign of ownership. You are the Lord's. Another analogy we give of this is where you go and buy something. Say you're going to buy a new fridge, but you can't take that fridge away with you because it's too big. So a stamp goes on that, sold. In other words, it shows other people who come into the shop, you can't buy that. It's sold and it's going to be delivered. So that is spiritually over your life. which is an indication Satan has no priority. He is trespassing in your life. And he might attempt to try and steal, but he cannot get away with it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. So it is ownership. And we saw where the baptism is it's a separate experience to having the Spirit at the new birth. And I gave an analogy of this. When we come to Christ, Christ is with us. When we are baptized in the Holy Spirit, when we are sealed, he's in us. And that is a very good analogy. And we need to be sealed if God is to build his church in the last days. We need that sealing because God is restoring us to apostolic faith. He is not introducing us to an organization, a denomination. He is bringing us out, and our covering is the blood of the Lamb, not a man, not a ministry. So many are following men, women in ministry today. Your following is the Lord himself. We follow as his sheep. We follow the great shepherd wherever he is. And he is drawing a remnant of like mind and heart and spirit who desire to go on with the Lord. This is why we call it the deeper life. Because the deeper life is that open door that's shown in the book of Revelation, where you can go through and you can go as deep and as far as you want in the Spirit with God. So this sealing that we have received is a mighty sealing. But I want to show what this sealing is actually for, what the baptism of the Holy Spirit is for. Most are missing out what the baptism of the Spirit is really about. They just see it as a Pentecostal experience of speaking in tongues and the gifts being restored. That is only part of it, brothers and sisters. The power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit is to draw out a remnant who will come back and be restored into apostolic faith under the ministries of the apostle, prophet, evangelist, pastor, teacher, which are ministries that the Holy Spirit restores, not man appointed, but God anointed. And there is a vast difference. There is so much out there that is man appointed, and it is idolatry. But God will not have that. And this is what he's doing. So the emphasis on this teaching is that this sealing is an experience through the baptism. It's not a feeling, but it is an empowerment. You see, many hold that the Spirit or the baptism in the Spirit is generally the same as they conclude that they're baptized in water or they've been saved or whatever it is. But as I've been showing, it is a sealing. And we see that the word baptize is used in different ways in scriptures. For example, let's turn to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. And here our Lord speaks of a baptism. Luke 12 and verse 50. But I have a baptism to be baptized with. And how distressed I am till it is accomplished. There, of course, he's speaking of his death. He's to face the cross. He speaks of that as a baptism. This isn't baptism in water. That is a baptism. But there is baptisms in the Spirit. There is experiences in the Spirit. Jesus was being prepared for that experience. And we know that in the Garden of Gethsemane, where he prayed and he interceded and sweated, as it were, drops of blood. It's a very interesting, but a young soldier going into his first battle is often referred to as his baptism of fire. There's another idea. And of course, we know the day of Pentecost, they are empowered, they are transformed. And it wasn't a feeling, it was actually an experience. Now, yes, you can feel or whatever it is, but it is an empowerment. It isn't something that you go by feelings. It's an empowerment that transforms, that changes. Many experience the fire that fell, and we know that because they saw cloven tongues of fire. So there again is this another analogy of baptism of fire. It's always God empowering. It's a taking over as one yields to the Spirit. It's not God taking you literally over. That's what demons do. That's what the devil does. God doesn't work that way. The Holy Spirit is gentle. God is a gentleman in that sense. It's if we're willing to yield over to the power that he gives us. We have that free will. There is the difference. And so there they were in the upper room, and the Holy Spirit fell. Why? Because they were in unity and harmony and oneness with him. And that's what will happen. Not my will, but thy will be done. So as we have our wills in harmony and unity and one with the Godhead, so he will empower us with his presence. That's what it's all about. So he empowers us as we yield to the Spirit. And this is why we hold to the deeper life in the Spirit. You see, the cross is that we die out to the self by simply yielding and not resisting. And that's what the cross does as we take up our cross daily and follow the Lord. It is dealing with the self life, the selfish life, where we so easily can put ourselves first before the Lord. But the cross will deal with that. You see, something that we forget about the cross, we tend to think of it as Christ, the cross that he took up. And yes, he did. It was a literal cross. There he was to die on that cross. But our cross is a spiritual experience. We still think of it in terms of a cross or something that we're wearing round our neck or something that's placed on an altar. The cross that is spoken of in the Gospels that we too are to take up daily and follow is a spiritual work of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will recreate the cross in your life and my life that deals with the self life. It says in the scriptures, take up your cross. It's the giving up of self, the denial of self. It's not self-denial. That's religious. It's not giving up cigarettes so that your son, you can save money, that your son can go to college. That's what a lot of people do. They call that self-denial. That isn't what the Bible reveals. It's a denial of self. It's deliberately choosing the way of the cross, the same as Jesus did. It's divesting yourself. It's that Greek word we call the kenosis experience. It is a self-emptying. I choose to be emptied of self. And the means of that is God will work the cross to do that. That is what it's about. Religion has got it so wrong today. Again, the Holy Spirit, through the sealing, through the empowerment of the Spirit, he will work that so that we can encompass our trials. It's deliberately willing to choose to die daily that Christ may live his life in and through me. Nobody accidentally finds themselves in this. Nobody who loves the Lord Jesus Christ, who's even come into this room today, has come in a sense accidentally. We have chosen to be here. We have chosen, we've placed ourselves here deliberately, a choice, so that we can hear God speak to us and that our lives can be changed and touched and conformed into his likeness. There's the will. But we can surrender that will up. So it's not my will, but thy will be done. The same as Jesus did. That Jesus swept those drops of blood in the Garden of Gethsemane, settling the cross, the sentence of death, into his life. And we do the same. So nobody is found deliberately in this situation. That's why when we enter the marriage feast, we are there chosen because we've desired to be there. And it says there was one there who didn't have the garments on and was cast out because they didn't come with the right heart and attitude. There's these parallels that we have. We are seeing a distinct separation now in these days of the wise and the foolish virgins. The 10 of them are virgin, speaks of new birth. Some preach that differently. They say the 5 foolish are the unregenerate. No, they're not. They're virgin. Speaks of new birth. But it says out of the 10, 5 have wisdom. 5 have that extra vessel of oil, the oil of preparation, the oil of anointing for the last days. And they have enough in their lamps because they have had the word in their lives, that spiritual oil, so that they are ready for the light doesn't go out at the coming of the Lord. And the others who are foolish, who didn't really want to pay the price of commitment, discipleship, rush around to try and find. And they say, give us some of your oil. What is it you've got? How is it that you stand? How is it that you're overcoming? You're still believing. What is it you've got? I'm finding this difficult. Well, go and get what I got. Where did you get it from? I got it from the Garden of Gethsemane. That's where I got it from. I settled it with God. Are you getting it, brothers and sisters? We're seeing this happening now spiritually before us. There are some who just are not listening. They're not listening with their hearts. And there is coming that separation. The Lord said it would. This, what God is building, this the bride who's making herself ready, God has shown us it's like a spiritual ark of the last day. The door is open. You can enter into that spiritual ark. Jesus spoke that it would be like the days of Noah in the last days. Here are these analogies. Make sure you get in, that you are there. Because one day, God is going to close that door, not man, the Lord will. That is why the Lord stands as an open door. The way into the deeper life is through him. Through the baptism of the Spirit, the sealing of the Spirit. And you can go as deep and as far as you want. Hallelujah. Praise God. So there we see these baptisms. Afar. It's always God empowering. It's a taking over as we yield to the Spirit. And this is why we hold on and to the Word, the deeper life, like we do. Now, we seem to forget that the baptism of the Holy Spirit, this sealing to us, it's like new wine. It's an empowerment as I've been showing, for the bride of Christ to make herself ready. So many are putting this new wine into old wineskins, and it doesn't work.
Revival.
Because they want to be in control. And God will not let this be in control. It is a work of the Spirit. No man will touch this. It is God building his church in these last days. He's restoring her back to apostolic faith and anointing. Why? Because we are being prepared for the greatest onslaught. The powers of darkness will be leashed and will try to destroy the body of Christ. Oh, he's out to destroy her. And this is why we have to be equipped. We have to be ready. This is why we're seeing a flood of demonic activity now flooding the earth. We are seeing demons in people that you didn't see 30 years ago. They are becoming oppressed and possessed. This country that we live in now, that once sent out more missionaries throughout the world, who held to the gospel for centuries, we're now pagan. We're seeing demons manifesting through people we didn't see 30, 20 years ago. All of which is spoken about will happen in the last days. We live in the times of Sodom and Gomorrah. And Sodom and Gomorrah were very advanced cities of its time, where, in the sense of technology, education, they're finding out now as they study what Sodom and Gomorrah was, they were very academic, very clever. There were types of universities there, education. Wasn't just about lust and sex. It was far more subtle than that. That's why Jesus referred to what it would be like in the last days. So we enter into this experience, and the baptism, this sealing, tells us that we are entering into this. This is what God has for us. And it was interesting that the time of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, this, we don't realise what was happening there. It wasn't just an empowerment. It wasn't just gifts that were being restored to the church. But it was an empowerment to reach the high standard that could be found in Christ Jesus. You have to be empowered by the Holy Spirit to meet that standard, that perfection that the Father looks for. Can't be achieved otherwise. And he's doing that in us. But not only that, the baptism was also essential for the turning of the gospel to the Gentiles. Up until then, it was just mainly the Jews. The disciples were Jews. We know this because Peter was shown that blanket, that sheet that came down, were all sorts of animals, unclean animals in it. What was it showing? That the gospel was going to reach now to the Gentiles, because the Jews had rejected their Messiah. They had crucified him. They had brought his curse upon them. So they are put aside for a period of time. Read the book of Romans. Paul's absolutely clear. For a season, they are put aside while God turns to the Gentiles. But we are coming to the end of Gentiles being saved. We're shortly coming to the end. When the last Gentile is saved, then God will turn to ancient Israel and he will restore her back. But she will be purged in her restoring. We know this because Antichrist will make war against her, and also Christians that are left who don't go up in the rapture. The first fruits, the wise virgins. But there at that first dispensation, we see through the baptism of the Holy Spirit, it was a turning of the gospel to the Gentiles. And the disciples saw that the baptism was also for them, because they saw Gentiles were getting baptized in the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues, other languages. Praise God. Hallelujah. So you see, the proof of this sealing is shown. We know this in Romans chapter 8, verse 16. We know this very well. But let's look at this because it's applicable to what I'm talking about. Romans 8, and we look at verse 16, which says, "For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God." So it bears witness. And what does verse 6 say of Romans 8? "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So the sealing, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, is to get us to walk in the Spirit, to be spiritually minded and not carnally minded. So there is another reason why the baptism of the Spirit is so essential. And yet most miss this. Now the idea of this is that we are children. And like children, we have a vast estate. We have a vast wealth that we have in Christ Jesus. And we are being educated to be able to run this estate. And at present, we're under tutors until we receive this estate. How do we know this? Let's turn to Galatians, because Paul touches on this. He touches on sonship. The baptism of the Holy Spirit is an empowerment that you and I will become sons, will mature, we will grow up. So many in the house of God just don't want to grow up. But the time now, brothers and sisters, is to grow up into sonship. And that is what this sealing is about. Galatians chapter 3, let's take it up, verse 23. "But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Therefore the law was our tutor to bring us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we are no longer under a tutor." Now, of course, this is referring under the Roman and Greek world of its time. And they had a word which is called pedagogue, or pedagogues, who were custodians or guardians in the education and bringing up of a child, because that child was to inherit a great estate, a great wealth. And this ended when the child became full age. Let's look at verses, chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. Paul again speaks about this. "Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is a master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time has come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth his spirit, the spirit of his son, into your heart, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son.
Hallelujah.
If a son, then an heir of God through Christ." What a wonderful promise. And the sealing sets that in motion, brothers and sisters. The baptism of the Holy Spirit. Can you not see there's so much more to the baptism of the Spirit than just speaking in tongues and gifts? And as important as that is, far, far more. But what is the warning in the book of Galatians is to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. There's its warning. Galatians 5 verse 16. I say then, walk in the Spirit and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That was the warning to the Galatian church. Because what was happening is they started in the Spirit and they ended in the flesh. They were missing out. They were giving their reward of sonship away. They were letting the enemy in and taking it from them. And he will. You let him have access, he'll be in. But the sealing of the Spirit is an empowerment to help and enable you to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. Now, it says about crying out, Abba, Father, which we've just read. This is very interesting, this, you know. Its original meaning in the Greek, the word crying, means the croak of a raven. The croak of a raven. It's the idea of crying from the heart, not always dignified. Have you heard real cries, real wails from the heart? It's not very dignified, is it? Is the croak of a raven very dignified? When I was preparing this, you know, God works in such ways. As I was preparing this teaching, I became aware outside on our aerial, a blackbird singing. And what a difference. The sound that that bird was making. I said, praise God, listen to that. A raven can't make that noise. But this is the idea of crying out, Abba, Father. Mm-hmm. It comes out of the depth of the heart. It's a sign of the Holy Spirit, the sealing of the Spirit in your life, my life. It enables me to be able to cry out from the depths of my heart to God. Now, this also is very interesting. Because a mother with her child knows the cries of that child. She is the one that is more sensitive than anyone else. She knows when it's just a cry, but she also knows when it's an alarm or a warning. She can pick up that cry. And God does exactly the same as we cry out, Abba, Father. You see, in the Old Testament, saints didn't have that same experience as we have today under the new covenant. The Holy Spirit fell on them like a cloak, but he could also leave. He doesn't today. He resides in you. He lives in you. God, can I put this in other words? You now are the altar. You now are the sacrifice. You now are the consecration. You are the new covenant. You are the new people, the new race in Christ Jesus. How do we know? Romans 12 tells us, 1 and 2, present yourself now as that altar. You are the sacrifice. You now intercede and supplicate for the world, for your rebellious family, for your neighbours, for your government, for the peace of Israel. You are now the intercessors, the high priest, the royal priesthood. A new office, a new ministry. How do we know this? Because the sealing tells us this through the baptism. So what is this sealing now as I conclude in this? It's the Spirit of adoption as sons. It's a promise. And this promise is where? In this document, this sealing that we were talking about last week. That's where it's to be found. And it is sealed. It is a covenant between you and God. You are destined to become a son, mature, grow up in the faith. He's preparing us. He's training us in the school of experience. Your trials are part of your experience. What you go through, the delays of faith, the disappointment sometimes, the loneliness of this walk, all these things that we experience is your schooling that's causing you to grow up, to mature, to take on the responsibility. Because you have been predestined for inheritance. Read Ephesians. It's what it tells us, our blessings that we have in Christ Jesus. That's what you're being prepared for. You have been adopted. We shouldn't have been adopted. Not if Israel got it right. Israel, if she got it right, she was to be teachers, tutors to the world, to teach the revelation of Yahweh. But she rejected it. And so in her rejection, you and I have been grafted in to the vine. Look at the wisdom and mind and understanding of Almighty God. How could anyone even begin to fathom or work that out? And yet that is what he's done and is doing. So there it is. There's this sealing. It's a direct assurance which the Holy Spirit gives us of our relationship with Almighty God through Jesus Christ. That as he has inherited all things, so he shares that inheritance with us. Because we're found in him. And that's why he said, I go away and prepare a place for you. For in my Father's house are many mansions. And not only that, but you are to come with him as first fruits, as overcomers, to rule and reign with him. As he comes on his white horse, so you will follow him, the overcomers. And for 1,000 years, Satan will be put away, chained, and this world will be converted back to following and worshipping God. You have ministries in the millennium, brothers and sisters. Great ministries. What a future we have ahead of us. There may not be much going on in your life at the moment, but what you are being prepared for, you cannot begin to even imagine what is there, what your inheritance is in Christ Jesus. And what do? We take it now by faith. And faith will cause that experience to start to become a reality. That's why he says, without faith, it is impossible to please him. All that we've heard today, we receive on the basis of believing by faith. And your believing, your faith starts to translate that experience, that knowledge, that understanding that flesh and blood cannot reveal. And that is why when we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What is our inheritance in heaven? Well, we can't even begin to imagine. And yet he says, start praying it on earth as well.
Amen.
Most who are in churches today, sadly, will pray the Lord's Prayer, but will not have a clue
what it
is about. And as far as praying thy will be done, it's not even an affection. It's not really even in their hearts, sadly. Why God is even having to put it in us by his mercy and grace, is he not?
Yes.
Hallelujah. So there we are, brothers and sisters. That is this sealing that the Lord talks about. It is that great truth. It's what God has given to us. But sadly, it's probably least understood. So sealing indicates something that is authoritative. It's where two come together. It is a legal document. It is where you put your signature to it that makes it legal. It means you come agreeing. Just like a marriage. And this other meaning is a sealing. It's a mark of ownership. In other words, it is bought. You can't buy it. The stamp is on it. You and I have a stamp on us. We've been redeemed, purchased by the blood of Jesus. We are not for sale. Amen.
Amen.
Heavenly Father, we thank you today. We thank you that you first loved us. Lord, we have done nothing to deserve any of this. It is your mercy, your grace that's reached out to us. We don't find that we're accidentally in these things. But you bring it to us, Lord. You bring this manner to us. We're not capable of finding it ourselves. We don't have revelation unless it's revealed, unless it comes from above. That these are our experiences that we have with you. And Lord, we thank you for the seal that is over our lives. What is in that seal, that document? That we belong to you. And you are training each of us, both individually and corporately, to become those heirs, to receive the promises of God, which are yes and amen in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that all of us will enter into this spiritual ark that is prepared, because that door is open and you are calling the overcomers, the first fruits, to enter in. Oh, Father, thank you that we are responding. Thank you that you've given us ears and hearts to be able to hear this, Lord. Help us, Father. We know that the enemy is out to try and destroy. He's out to try and take away as many as possible. But you have sealed us. And you have said, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. And we thank you for this. We thank you for the privilege today, Lord, of being able to come together as brothers and sisters. And Lord, you have brought our brothers and sisters from around the world coming to this place, into this room, to share, because we love Jesus. And so, Lord, I pray that you will bless, preserve and keep each one of us. Cause your face to shine upon us. Father, be with us when we go out and when we come in. Father, give us that divine health that you can only give, because by your stripes we were healed at Calvary. Father, may we continue to experience more of the power of the Holy Spirit in our lives. Empower us, Father, to be able to go that extra mile when it is required of us. Empower us, Lord, when in our hearts we can't love that person, but the love of God can love in and through us. Lord, we know many times we come to the end of ourselves, but that is for a reason, that you can take over. And Father, above all, empower us that we can let go, that you can take over. For this we ask in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Praise God.
Disaster, let him in constancy fall.